Hey everybody, this is Big Mouth, aka Dante, and we are here in the place to be. So everybody, listen, I already had happy hour. I'm semi-drunk, but, you know, work is, like P. Diddy said, you sleep when you die. Like, I ran into somebody that I met, and a really cool person, really intelligent person. I was like, yo, let's turn around to this podcast. And they was nice enough to sit down there and talk to me late at night on top of me having alcohol in my system, on top of me taking a deep black soap bath / vinegar bath. If you don't know about black soap bath and a vinegar bath, this is something that you need to know, because your skin will feel extra soft and smooth and everything. For you dirty motherfuckers who don't know how to do that, well, a vinegar bath would be really good for you. I like to switch it up from peroxide to vinegar. Just, you know, don't mix the two, because then you will burn yourself and scald yourself, and I'm not taking the rap for that, okay? Just let all you motherfuckers know that, okay? But let's get into Friday. I can't wait to just go home and just get another drink when I go home. I'm just saying. What's up, JD? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain. Like I just said, you already know about my drunken escapade, because you got a drunk call from me when it was supposed to be a drunk text.
Right. Video call in the middle of setting up a bed.
Oh, setting up a bed? Is it like a thought in bed, or is it like one of those, like, okay, like, what's the bed for?
I wish it was. No, it was just a brand new bed frame. That was all. I broke the other one. Oh!
Did you say you broke the other bed frame? Well, in the Martin Gina was you doing?
Old. It was old.
Huh?
Said it was old.
Oh. I thought you said it was a hoe. I was like, oh. Ain't nothing like a hoe. A hoe bed frame. Like, you know, I'm just saying. Now, is this new bed frame a frame that you can grab from behind? Does it have holes? Can you cuff something to it?
No, it doesn't have bars. It's kind of like a cushioned backboard.
Oh. Cushion backboard. So it basically has like material.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I hope when you jerk off that you do not shoot anything on it, because it's hard to get out. Just saying.
I've had some couple accidents like that.
Listen, ain't nothing wrong with a couple. Hopefully you learn from these things, you know.
Yeah.
You ever shot yourself in the eye by accident?
Huh?
Have you ever shot yourself in the eye by accident?
You know, I almost did one time, but I, like, curved it real quick because I saw it coming, and I was like, no, it landed on my pillow.
Oh, you did the... You
but
did,
it almost got me.
Oh, okay, so you basically did a bush. Like,
Yeah, I bopped and weaved.
Hey, bopped and weaved when they threw that shoe at his ass. Yes, he had reflexes. Mm-hmm. Definitely did. Have you seen this Prince Harry and Meghan stuff going on?
The Meghan Markle and Prince Harry interview with Oprah?
Yes.
I have.
What do you
I saw the whole thing. Say again?
You said you saw the whole thing. What do you think of it?
I mean, for one, it's the royal family, right? It's like the monarchy. It's a nation that still holds this family on a pedestal above everyone else's, right? She said, you know, in the beginning of the interview that she kind of went into it very naively in a way, because she didn't really do any research. She didn't, you know, like a normal family. And when she says when she met the queen, she didn't know how to curtsy, which I don't even know what curtsy is, but she kind of got like a rundown sort of training like 5 minutes before she met her. If the moment she started dating Harry, She should have at least done some research. She should have at least asked Harry, hey, listen, I know you're part of the royal family. Is there anything that I need to know before meeting any of your relatives? Right? That's the first part. Everything else that happened after that initial meeting, it was horrible as far as me being on the side of Meghan, right? To not having any support. Sort of keeping her locked up where she can't go anywhere and then not protecting her as far as the media and all the reports that went on with that. And then from Harry's side, I felt like he could have done a little bit more. Like they didn't have to actually like just leave the royal family the way they did, but I feel like he could have done a little bit more. But the family being what they are, I guess shut him out. And that's why they were in Southern California now.
Okay, so
Yeah, what did you think about it?
first of all, let me tell and say when if I'm meeting John, Jacob, and Harry, I ain't got fucking time to be sitting there researching. Listen, okay, I'm meeting the queen, your mama. All right, okay. She likes me to curtsy. Okay, I never did that before, but I'm an actress. I can do. Okay, show me this real quick, and then I curtsy and I do it by accident. I'll be like, "Ma'am, I am so sorry because I've never done this before. But how are you today? Are you having a good day? And if you don't fucking like it, I don't know what else to tell you." And then I'm gonna turn around, sit down there, and say, "Harry, listen now. I'm an actress, and I'm a black actress at that, from Compton. Know what you dating. Because at the end of the day, first of all, yes, we all, whoever you date, you trying to make the first impression, you putting on your representative. You saying, I'm going to try to give the best that I possibly can.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. Know that I might fart in your face because this is what you're going to be dating. I might
Bro.
probably eat with my mouth o open. You're either going to love it or you're not. Now, we know Prince Harry from when he was a kid. That motherfucker always been a rebel. I'm not surprised that he didn't got a black girl. And he didn't got a black girl that ain't taking no shit from the pr and prince, princess, or
Right.
any other motherfuckers there. Now, see, Prince William, right? It's Prince William, correct?
Yeah,
He got
his
this
older
bitch.
brother.
He got this bitch that say, "Okay, just load me up with babies and whatever the queen say, I'm gonna be a good girl and I'm gonna stop whatever you want." Just like fucking coming to America, whatever you want. She fit that role. Whatever you want.
Right.
Prince Harry, just like Prince Hakeem, he's sitting down there and he like, "I want to go to Queens and get my bride." He went to Compton and got his bride, and that's what the fuck he like. And now what they doing? They done moved on up to the USA and say he still got his money, and that's what it is. I listen.
Right.
All powers.
Well, they actually cut him off as far as the royal family. They cut him off. The money he has now is the money that his mother left to Prince Diana. So the royal family actually cut him off.
Okay. And I bet it was a lot of money.
It was a lot.
It was a
Prince
lot of money.
Diana had a huge footprint in the world, and she had a lot of money.
And let me tell you, Prince Diana came back through with Megan, and he looked at Megan, he said, "You just like my mama." Because Miss Diana, she was a hot, she wasn't a hot mess in a bad way, but she was that bitch. Like, fuck y'all. And listen, conspiracy theories, they killed her, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But she was that bitch. Like, look, fuck you. I'm gonna do what I want to do and fuck what you doing and whatever, whatever. And Megan is the same thing. And I ain't surprised if Prince Harry was like, "You know what, you mommy and my mother, and they killed this bitch, and I don't want you dead either. So come on, let's go with my money. We get these babies and let's do what we got to do." You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, if I ever get a husband, you gonna know, listen, you gonna take time to learn me, But you, what you are gonna know about me is I'm not gonna tolerate but so much shit. I'm gonna be as courteous as I can to your family. I'm gonna give them the respect that I need to give them. But if they disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect them. But in the most courteous way that I possibly can. Now, if you that dude that you can't man the fuck up and say something, I'm gonna give you a look. And the look that I give you is the look that I'm going to disrespect your ass in 5.2 seconds, and then I'm gonna nicely, because I give older people respect, but I will disrespect their ass too if they get out their face. It reminds me of, do you watch Atlanta Housewives?
I don't.
Okay, so if I say take a
But I've
glimpse.
seen clips. I know what the show is.
Okay, Candy and Todd. Candy and Todd, same fucking, just about the same thing. Her mother's mouth can be disrespectful, but she loves her mother to death. I don't knock that. Her man is trying to sit down there and, build a relationship, but your mother coming in, and you could, and like everybody from the show watches, they be like, you need to put your mother in check. And like Candy, you ain't gonna disrespect my mother. I understand. There's a difference from disrespecting your mother and putting her in her fucking place. Period.
Exactly.
So, I listen, I give them kudos. I hope the best for them. But she did sit down there and she put, Megan came out and said there's fucking racism. And then
Yeah.
at the end of the day, she's
My thing is with the royal family. They're just, at this point, they're only symbolic, right? They don't even run the country. They're just symbolic in the sense of the monarchy and what the UK was. But I mean, across the centuries, they're trying to, like, I was watching this video on Instagram, and they talked about the whole pure bloodline that they're trying to keep. Megan being who she is and where she comes from, they felt like she was gonna taint it. That's why they didn't even want to give Archie a title. That's why they didn't want to give the baby like the security or like what he should have received as being a royal baby, being Prince Harry's son. But it's like it's 2021. This family doesn't do anything aside from being the family who they are, aside from their bloodline, quote unquote. But it's ridiculous that in 2021, this family still acts the way it does when what they call the Commonwealth is basically all the countries that are part of like the European Union and mostly what countries that they like colonized in back in the 1800s and 1900s. It's like most of those countries are people of color. And having Meghan Markle join the family would have signified a lot. And they just pissed on it and let it out.
Well, from what I know is there was a black queen, from what I know. So I don't know what the fuck. There was a black queen. There was a black queen that they kept under wraps. You know what? Society fucking kills me. Because first of all, let's go back a little bit with Megan, and I'm gonna go back to the black queen, and we're gonna go to another subject. So, black queen, she was up in here, so I don't know what they all talking about, and they try to keep that shit as quiet as possible in the royal family. Meghan Markle, black from Compton, she worked her way into a celebrity. She didn't sleep around. She didn't do anything fucking nasty. She worked. She's an actress. She did what she had to do.
I was pissed because one of my favorite shows got terminated or canceled because she left. She was playing the role of Rachel Dawes in the show called Suits on, I think it was TBS or one of those network
I think
TV
it was
channels.
CBS.
And Yeah, one of those. Oh no, it was USA Network. It was
Okay.
USA. And she was on the show, and because she married Harry, she could no longer do acting. She could no longer work. So she had to give all that up, give up her life to go join this family who then just spit at her and kicked her out. I was pissed because I loved the show, and had she stayed, the show would have gone on at least 4 or 5 more seasons. And they ended the show because without her, one of the main characters could not be on the show because she was married to him. And taking her out of it was it, the show was not going to continue the way it should have. So I was pissed when she like started dating Harry, but I was happy for her because she found, like, hey, she's dating a prince, like who wouldn't be? But then, this whole situation happened, and I just felt bad for her, and like it was a lot.
I feel bad for her. I fucking salute her because let me tell you something. She just pulled out what is going on with every black person has pulled
Oh no, yeah.
out in almost every country, continent, in any way, which is there is systemic racism. There's racism going on. At 2021, people making everything fucking kumbaya. No, it is not kumbaya. No, motherfucker, you are racist. And then it pulled out more stuff about England even more.
Right.
Oh, well, why is she ashamed herself? And then, first of all, people in America, mind your business. Worry about you and Trump. Don't go over there talking about their asses. Mind your business. Worry about you and Trump and your racist ass. So I feel, listen, just like when Trump got into office, everybody's, oh my God, he's in office. What? No, I enjoy him being in office. You know why? Because the friends that I thought were my friends, now I know you're a racist bastard and your ass can get the fuck away from me and stay away
Right.
from me. So these things are.
That's the only good thing that came out of Trump is that he. I said, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that was the only good thing about Trump getting office is that he took the veil off of all these KKK Nazi asses, fascist bitches who are in this country today, walking among us every day, and we didn't know who they really were until Trump became into office.
And they were your teachers, they were your cops, they were all those motherfuckers. So you know what? Kudos to Meghan and Harry. Keep turning around and turning shit the fuck up. Get back into acting. Harry got some money. Y'all gonna live good because the euro's more than the American fucking dollar. And enjoy yourself and be all that you can be. Don't worry, something's gonna happen where they're gonna pull Harry back. But Harry's always been a rebel, and he's gonna continue being who the fuck Harry is. He still got his hair, unlike his brother. Just saying. Just saying.
Same, right?
So you know what? Speaking of that, would you? I don't know. I don't know. Would you
Be in
turn
love
around
with
and
her?
move somewhere or do something like that, like Megan did in your case for like Amir?
Would I, if I was like, say, if I was in Megan's situation, and I wouldn't have to think the moment everything is going out about me on the media, and just everything that was going on, and them not like covering it up or not protecting me, I would have been like, fuck this shit, I'm leaving. I would have left. I would have told Prince Harry, either you coming with me, or if you want to stay, you can stay, but I'm out. I'm not gonna take this bullshit. Like, and I'm gonna spill all the fucking tea that needs to be spilled about this damn family because I'm not gonna take it. Like, I'm not just gonna sit there. I'm not gonna have them lock me up in a room and tell me I can't go out because there's too much info about me out already.
You're a
That's one
firecracker.
thing. Now, if let's say if I met somebody and I mean not necessarily the royal family, you're not in that situation, but let's say this person asks me to move to a whole nother country, it'll depend. It all depends on what the relationship would be. It'll depend on how many years we've been together. I mean, if let's say it's been 6 months and you decided to move, and I'm like, okay, well, kumbaya, have fun, enjoy it, because it's too soon, it's too early. I have it's in 6 months, I would not move in with you yet. One, So I don't know what it is like living with you in a space or in a confined space or anything, depending on the size of the apartment. And you learn a lot about a person the moment you move in with them. Versus, like, you learn what the person is, like being out, friends, hanging out, dating, when in that first year or two before you live together. But once you move in, it's a whole different ballgame, and then you discover what that person is more. So if somebody were to ask me to go to another country with them, again, it will all depends on how long we've been together. If, let's say it's been 3 years, we already lived in an apartment together and everything's good, everything's Gucci, then yeah, I'll consider it. Let's go. But anything prior to that, I would think it would be a no for me.
Have you ever lived with another person?
Anyone that I'm dating? Not.
No, so in the past you never lived in with any boyfriend or anything before?
No. Not with anyone that I've dated or a boyfriend or anything like in a relationship that I was sharing a space with that person, though.
Okay, all right. So, I see we talk nasty on here. So, I like to get to the net ingredient, and
Okay,
my
let's get the net.
my listen, my little big mouths, they are nasty freaks, somewhat like me, and they like to talk about nasty shit. So,
Okay.
I was watching Pornhub, right? And
Okay.
it was in Brazil. It was Uber in Brazil. And they had different Ubers where they were fucking in the Ubers and having sex and shit like that. And I said, I've always wanted to do that. I always wanted to just, all of a sudden, the Uber says, my car's not working. Give me a second. We abandoned by the road. And then they start giving me head and I fuck the shit out of them. Or I have to sit in the front because somebody made a mess in the back of the car. And then all of a sudden, they start. Only if they're cute, grab my dick and I'm like, what are you doing? All right, drive me to my house and we fuck. Now, for all y'all who don't know, he is a, what is it, Lyft or Uber driver?
I'm an Uber driver.
Uber
Well,
driver.
I have both platforms, but I do mostly Uber.
Yes. So now you know, guys, the questions I'm gonna ask. Okay, so have you did any of these nasty things at all? I need to know the experience. I need to know the freakiness.
To be honest, I mean, I've done shit in my car on my own time with my own feet. But as far as passengers, I've gotten offered head twice before. A couple trying to have sex in the back seat at one time. But me engaging with, like, let's say a passenger, no, I have not. But yeah, I've done shit in my car
I
though.
want to hear
I've
the
done.
office. Who, what was the
Huh?
office? What was the office? We want to hear the office. I want to hear the office.
The office one. Okay, so this happened with my first boyfriend. Well, we was had already broken up at the time, but we still fooled around afterwards. And yeah, he invited me to his off to he was working at this jewelry store. It's like a small shop in the village, and he had a back the office had a back office, and he invited me after they closed. I went to the shop, and then it closed up. We went into the back office, and I fucked him on the bench that they had back there. That was that one time. Same person in my car on one of the emergency exits on the West Side Highway.
Okay, but that's your boyfriend. Like that's hot. That's not hot, hot. Like I'm talking about offer. You said you had an offer. Like no person.
Oh, yes, I had two. I thought you said offers. Two offers to give me head. This was one individual. I picked him up at a gay club coming out of Brooklyn, and he lived in Harlem. And like the whole ride, we was having a great conversation and everything, talking about traveling.
Was he black? Cause he's
No, he
leaving
was
Brooklyn going
white.
to Harlem, huh?
He was white,
Oh,
actually.
oh shit. Okay.
He was white. I want to say like mid-30s. He was balding a little bit. So yeah, so right before, like 5 minutes before we arrived to his destination, he decides to like, offer. It's like, hey, I'm like, he started like, yo, I'm like really horny right now. Like, would you like some head? I was stunned at first because this is the first time that happened to me. So I'm like, I froze for a little bit. Like, I didn't know what to really say, but I wasn't into him. Like, he was not my cup of tea. He's not like, I wasn't into him. So he wasn't all that cute. So I was just like, no, thank you. I'm okay. I'm okay. So he's like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? Like, you could, like, he invited me upstairs, but I was like, no, I'm okay. Like, I appreciate, I was nervous, to be honest. I was like, because I've never engaged anything like that. As far as working or like with customers, anything like, I've never engaged in anything like that before. So that would have been like first time. But I said no. So he gets out the car, he goes inside. I'm driving down the street, and then I turn the corner, and my phone rings. And he went on the app, said he forgot something in my car, so that the Uber can connect him to my phone. And he called me. He's like, "Hey, can you check your back seat? I think I left my keys. I can't get in the house." So I'm looking, and he's on the phone, and I'm like, "Nah, your keys are not back yet." And then he goes, "Well, you know what? I'm actually already inside, but I was just calling to make sure that you didn't want, like, if you were sure about the head, like, if you really wanted it." I'm like, wow, okay. Nah, I'm good. I'm okay. And then I just hung up.
Well, you should have just said, but
But
I
that was the
found some
first
water.
time that that happened.
You should have said, I found some water because you sound thirsty as fuck.
I should have. But then the second time it happened, same thing, white guy coming out of, I think it was therapy or industry. It was one of those clubs because they were right across the street from each other. He was going from the city, going to Brooklyn. He decided to sit in the front seat. Now, I get weirded out the moment anybody decides to sit in the front seat, because why are you sitting in the front seat? That doesn't make no sense to me. Unless it's like a group of four people, then obviously somebody needs to sit in the front. But if you're just by yourself, it weirds me out. So we're driving, and then we start talking about sex parties and stuff like that. And I told him, I'm not into sex parties because one thing, I don't like being touched if I don't know you, right? If I don't know you, if I'm not comfortable around you, do not touch me. So going to sex parties, it's not my thing. And then he told me, well, at least you could just go and watch and everything. It's like, yeah, but if somebody's gonna try to touch me, it's I'm not gonna be receptive to it. So talk about the sex parties or whatever. So I keep driving. When we get to his spot, at that time I had gotten my car tinted, but I hadn't done anything in my car. And it was a real dark, I think I had 20% tint on my car. So I started talking. He started talking about the tint. He's like, "Oh, like it was really dark and everything. You couldn't even see in the car when he was getting in." I was like, "Yeah, I just got it done and everything." And he asked me, "Have you done anything in your car since you got it done?" I was like, "Honestly, no, I haven't, to tell you the truth." So he goes on about it, and then when we get to his spot, he's like, "We arrived. I'm about to turn off the ride. I ended the ride on the app." So he's just sitting there. So it's like, "Are you not gonna get out?" And he's like, "No, I think you're really cute and everything." It's like, "Do you want to come upstairs?" I was like, "Nah, I'm okay. I had an experience once before about a kid, which I'll tell you about that next, which is why I don't engage in stuff with passengers." But he's like, "You don't want to come upstairs? Like, I want to give you some head and everything." And I was like, "Nah, I'm okay. I'm okay." Again, just turned it down. I was not playing that. The reason why I don't do it is because there was one time I had picked up an Uber pool. The girl, I picked up a girl first, then I picked up a kid. He was a kid. He was like, I want to say 18, 19. And they were going to the Bronx from the city. I dropped off the guy first, and then I dropped her off. About a couple of days later, my app gets shut down. I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. Luckily, I still had my Lyft, so I was able to do that. But since I preferred Uber, I couldn't do anything. I was frustrated for the whole week. Come to find out, I kept calling and they kept telling me that it was under investigation. And then once the investigation is over, they'll let me know. So like a week later, they called me, and come to find out, the kid reported that I had offered sexual favors. And I was flabbergasted because I'm like, how the hell, where in the world, like who was, I was getting ready to throw bottles because I was not like, I know I did not. I have never crossed that line with anybody. I mean, I've gotten people offered me head and I've like turned that down because I'm not about to cross no line with nobody, with no passengers.
Where the fuck would he
And
get
then
that shit from?
I don't even know. So I'm like, I was asking them from when, what ride, like, you know, who? Like, I just wanted to know who. Was like, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you the ride. And it was like, okay, what day was it? It was like, okay, it was an Uber pool. It was a Thursday night. I was like, yes, I picked up a girl first, and then I picked up this guy. They both went to the Bronx. They were like a block away from each other. Since it was the pool, like, I dropped the guy off at the corner on Willis Avenue and like 142nd Street. And then I dropped off the girl. She was like around the block. And he was like, okay. I was like, at no point in time was I alone with the kid for me to even be so blunt as to offer sexual favors. He actually fell asleep in my car. I only spoke to him to wake him up to tell him to get out of my car. So I don't understand where, at what point in time was I ever alone to offer this kid sexual favors? Because I wouldn't believe anybody would offer someone sexual favors while there's a whole nother person sitting there. Yeah, they did their son. 24 hours later, they called me back. I guess they talked to the girl, found out that the kid was lying. And about, I don't think it was like 2 hours later, I was able to turn my app on and go to work. So that's the reason why I don't engage in sexual activity with passengers in my car. I mean, I've wanted to, obviously. It's been, you know, I've gotten offered head twice. I could have taken that easily, but it just, I don't know. It's a way I conduct myself professionally that I just don't engage in that.
So if I was in the
Have
back,
you ever done anything?
so if I was in the back of the car and you'd be there, oh Dante, hey, and I would like, yo, let's fuck in the back of your car. You would turn me down.
See, that's different because I know you.
Oh, okay. You hear this, guys? You know I'm trying to find an Uber, and be like, I need a ride, and I don't mean a car. Anyway, so that's interesting. Okay, that's interesting. You was gonna ask me, have I ever fucked with? No, I have not, because usually I don't talk to too many people, and then I have a big personality, and when I want to, but when I do talk to somebody, it's always traveling or going somewhere else. I actually met somebody who I knew in high school when they was a great underclassman, and come to find out they was my Uber driver, and we were just talking about how high school was and stuff like that. So that was the only thing that I know. Other than that, and then I had the conversation with this young motherfucker before Trump got into office. He was like, he's gonna help us out. And I said, where you from? Haiti. I said, oh, you're from Haiti. He likes you. You think he
You
likes
know,
you.
that's funny. I was working security at one of those high fashion jewelry stores, and there was this salesman, one of the guys from the sales team. I think he was Indian, or Pakistani, one of those two. And he was Trump supporter all the way. He was for Trump and everything. First thing Trump does when he gets into office is a Muslim ban. And I'm like, he must be at home right now regretting everything he said about Trump. It was crazy.
But you know, I can't deal with stupid people. But you know what? People like to be lied to. That's a way of America for some reason. People just love to be lied to. But I don't even want to talk about the orange man. I really don't, have the energy
No.
to talk about his ass. But I do have the energy about talking about sex and dick and fucking. So, first of all, guys,
Get it.
you haven't seen Anthony, and really cute. He got this man, these man buns right here, and I don't mean his ass, I mean the man bun in his head. So, what's up with the single life? Like, are you recently single? Like, what was that single? What was that?
I've been single for the last 3, 4 years now,
Oh my
and it's
God.
not for the lack of trying.
Is it choosing to be single, or are you just thotting and bopping in these streets until you figure out what you want?
I kind of know what I want. It's just that these guys out here are a piece. They're a lot, and I don't. It's not that I have high standards because, like, physically, I'm not the type of person to judge anybody physically. Like, I know what I like. I do have a type and everything, but my standards are high intellectually, right? Where I like a person to be smart and to challenge me mentally, But there's a lot of guys out there that care a lot about the superficial stuff, and that just turns me off, And like at first, they sell you this whole, the first month, dating and everything. They sell you this whole like personality and everything. But then they start showing you who they really are, and then you're like, you know what? This is not what I expected, and I get turned off, and then it just doesn't work. So I just move on.
So do you could consider yourself a cypersexual or pansexual?
I don't consider myself a pansexual. I don't consider myself hypersexual either. It's more like I'm a gay man. I consider myself a gay man. I'm attracted to guys, but I'm a guy at the end of the day.
Okay, well, not hyper. It wasn't
Go ahead.
hypersexual. It's I'm saying it wrong. I think it's SAXIP something sexual, and that's usually someone who is sexually attracted to the mental part of a person, to the intellect, to somebody who can intellectually stimulate them or mentally stimulate them. That's the turn off for them. Like, that's the sexual turn off for them compared to everything else. So, yeah. Did your phone freeze? So, yeah, like, cypersexual, that's when you're really attracted to the mental and the it's just it doesn't really matter anything. It's just you're turned on sexually by the whole mental part of somebody. They mentally stimulate you, and that's what that is. So
Yes.
do you feel you're that, or you're just like, fuck all that, I just need somebody with a brain with good sex?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So your ex gave you that, or what? Like, how do you lead into being this single person that you are now?
So it really has come down to knowing what I want and finding the person that's going to fulfill me in that way. I've had two serious relationships. And my first relationship with the guy was the first guy that I've ever been with at the time. And that was back in 2014. It lasted 2 years until 2016.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. We in 2020 now. Okay, let's do math, people. 15, 16, 17,
We're in
18, 19, 20.
2021. That was
That was
twenty.
7 years ago.
Yes.
You had two relationships. So you were starting and bopping the before you got into these relationships, or these was your first relationships? Like, you gotta explain this shit to me.
Nope, I was not. So I was 24 years old, 23 turning 24. I had just turned 24. Still in the closet. And I met this guy. He became my first boyfriend. He was in a relationship for 2 years. And broke up with him, sat on the bottom for a little bit, then got into another relationship, which only lasted like about a year. And then that ended towards the end of 2017. And I've been single since then.
Oh wait, we going to some good shit. So wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. So you was in the closet all the way to 24. Like in the closet, like you was doing shit on the side before you got there, or in the closet, like you wasn't doing shit.
No. You know how like when somebody goes to a pool and they're like super dry and everything, and then they just go to dive board and just dive in from the, I want to say the highest level they can. That's what happened to me. So I was in the closet, never been with a boy, never messed around with a boy, but I knew I was gay because I was, watching straight porn all the time. I mean, gay porn all the time. And even before I discovered gay porn, I used to watch a lot of straight porn, but it was just I was just looking at the guys. So I knew I was gay. But it came down to accepting that once I came out. When I came out, it was I had already accepted who I was, but it was a matter of thinking, will my family accept me or and everything? And then that whole drama situation. But when I met this my first boyfriend, it was like something just clicked, it snapped, and then I was just like, you know what? I just want to be happy. And I just dove right into it. Like, I just dove into being with a guy, having a relationship with a guy, having sex for the first time with a guy. It was that whole relationship was a learning experience for me. And I learned a lot, to be honest.
What did you learn? Because I gotta go back to this coming out later on with the family and all this stuff. Because I'm still, you know, but
Right.
explain what you've learned in this relationship.
So, getting into the nitty-gritty, the first time that I kissed him, we was on his roof. First time I kissed a guy for like ever. I was so nervous, like my heart was beating out my chest at the time. But I felt like this is where I belong. So even though I was nervous, I was scared, there was just a lot of things going through my mind, but I felt comfortable. Somehow within all that like anxiety and nervousness, I felt comfortable. And we kissed and everything, and fooling around and everything. We didn't even have sex till like a month in to it, but the first month we had a lot of conversation about douching and all that prep and stuff that I had nothing, I did not know nothing about. Yeah, that was the first time that I douched. It was like, I can't describe the feeling, but you probably know the feeling.
I don't.
But but what do you mean you don't?
I'm a top. I don't know nothing about no
You've
fucking.
never touched before. You've
No,
never bottomed for
I never
anybody.
bottomed. I've never douched. I never. No. Now I know about getting my ass eaten out. Like that's like awesome. Like getting my ass ate out. Maybe I don't like fingers. You probably maybe do a little something, but give me tongue. I'm fine. I might turn around and do like turn into like a strip, a diamond stripper, and might probably like do a little something on top of you, but sticking a dick in my ass, no.
So you've never had dick in your ass.
No. But am I sitting down here saying this will never happen? Yeah, this probably will never happen unless I get a husband. Cause
Okay.
you know, you gotta take one for the team to keep the thoughts away.
See, I'm sort of the same way. Like, if I consider myself burst, right? But if I'm single and thotting around, I'm a top, right? That verse part of me, I reserve to when I'm in a relationship with a boyfriend, because only that, like, if I love you, then I'm gonna want that from you. You know, like once in a blue moon. But if we're single, if I'm single, you're single, and we just dating and talking, I'm a top. You ain't getting nowhere there. But yeah, but the first time that I do this, it was he told me how to do it. He said, you know, I got my Fleet bottle, emptied it out, just put warm water in the bottle, and then put it up there, and then it was like, I feel like everything. It was just ugly. I don't want to like really talk about that, but it was just ugly. Yeah, so he taught me that. He had invited me to his place one day, and you know, we started fooling around and everything. He was giving me head, I gave him some head, and I went to put it in. I did not know the whole concept of like lubricating it first and everything. I thought it was just gonna slide right in, like if it was a pussy. Like
Oh no.
it did not work like that.
Asses don't work like that.
I learned that thing. I learned it didn't. So I was like, you know what? Maybe we should just wait. Because I did not know what I was doing. But then, you know, eventually I learned, and it was good sex. I mean, with him, it was never ordinary. It was never like in a room, in a bed, or nothing like that. It was in a staircase. It was on a rooftop. It was always either he always knew where the which was like I should have known, like picked up a red flag from that. But he always knew what empty apartments were in his building, so he knew where to go.
So he's done this before.
Right. So yeah, it was a lot of empty apartments in his building that we sort of christened before anybody moved in there. Staircases, like I said, in the rooftops. And then when I got my car, we did a lot of stuff in the car too, because he wasn't out either, but he had dated other guys before. So it was not like I could go over to his place and, you know, just be with him and chill around with his parents being there and nothing like that. For me, it was the same thing too. When I first met him, like a month into that, I came out because, like I said, I dove right into it. And when I dove right into it, I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna be like tiptoeing around nobody. I don't wanna be like having to hide, or, you know, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this fully. So I came out, embraced my full self. But my mom wasn't all that receptive, so I couldn't bring him to my place either. So we always had to improvise every time we had sex.
Okay,
So.
let's dive into this right here. So you're telling me that when you came out, you came out basically for him so you can be with him. And then mom was very much like, no.
Yeah. So the way it happened, like I remember that night clearly. I was on the phone with him, and my mom came into the room, and then I was like, okay, I gotta go. I had to hang up. So I hung up. And then my mom, she had been curious because up until this point in my life, I never really went out. I never really like hung out with people or friends from work, or I didn't like have the kind like I was working at a supermarket at the time, but I didn't really like chill with my coworkers or like was out the house at any point in time. It was always Work, home, school, work, home, school. Like, I didn't break that routine. But when I met him, and then me and him started hanging out after work, then it was okay. My mom started getting curious about what I was doing because she was not used to me being out like that. So, but at this point, I'm like, I'm 24. Like, I should actually been done this, been going out, hanging out, and doing this, but I didn't because I was a good kid. I was my mom's favorite. My sister did a whole lot of shit when she was young, and I sort of struggled with my mom and her and everything. So I was just like, you know what? I don't want to add to that. So I'm gonna just stay to myself. I'm gonna stay in my room, my little cave, and just, you know. And with everything else that was going on internally, it just kind of fit for me to just kind of like close myself off and be by myself. So. Right, so we get to me being 24. I meet this guy. I'm talking to him on the phone. My mom comes into the room. She wants to speak to this person because up until this point, to her, it's a female. I've expressed it's a female that I'm like talking to. Like, you know, she works with me. Like, everything was true except for the gender was different. It was not like they thought it was a female, but it was actually a guy. She wanted to talk to her. She wanted to talk. She wanted to see who I was like seeing. She wanted to know this person and meet them, you know, because I was her baby and she wanted to know who was taking her baby away from her. I was like, I don't want you to talk to her yet. Like, I don't want you to talk to her. I don't want you to talk to her. And she just stood there looking at me and then she was like, why you don't want me to talk to this person? Why? Because is it a guy? And I didn't say anything. I just looked at her. I just looked at straight into the eyes and she said it. I didn't say anything. She just walked out the room, put her coat on, went outside, and then like half hour later, my sister calls me and she's like, hey, is everything okay? And everything. And I told her what happened. And she was like, yeah, she called me. She said she had to go outside. She went to go get some air because, like, you basically just came out to her. And I was like, yeah. It was, she didn't speak to me for the next, like, 3 days. She actually went away because she came to Jersey to go visit my brother, and then she came back that Sunday. That Sunday, she walked in. I was in my room. She walks in. She's like, so, is there anything that you have to tell me? And then that's when I specifically said, yes, I am a gay man. I like men. So that's how I came out to my mother.
And how has it been from there?
In the beginning, it was rough. It was rough. I remember my ex, my boyfriend at the time, which was my first boyfriend, he had given me this Tom Hardy sweater. Now, I don't know if you know fashion or Tom Hardy, but most of his stuff on his sweaters is usually the Bali, you know, devils and skulls and all that stuff. He had given me that sweater. I had it in my bed. I was at work. She had came into my room to sprinkle holy water because she thought I was possessed or some shit. She goes to open my bed sheets and she sees this sweater. Obviously, she's already thinking I'm possessed. Now she sees this sweater with skulls on it all over. She decides to throw the sweater out. I came home. I don't see the sweater on my bed. I'm like, where's the sweater? She's like, I threw it out. Like, I don't want that devil shit in my house. Yada yada. I was pissed. I was so pissed. I went into my I. We lived in the project. So I went downstairs to where the garbage to see if I spotted it or saw it. I came back upstairs, asked her again, it's like, where did she like where in the garbage did you throw it? She's like, no, I threw it through the incinerator. I was like, oh my fucking God. I went into my room, I slammed that door so hard. She had like picture frames on the wall, like they all just came down.
Oh, still, she had powers and shit. She
Yo,
thought you. She thought you
like,
was what was that? The The Conjuring. Not the
yeah.
all the pictures there.
Yo, I was pissed, but that was in the beginning. She like put the chain on the door a couple times, but that only happened to ha that only had to happen once. Because then I decided when she was at home, I switched the little the way the little hole you put the chain in where it locks into it. I switched and I put the hole on the other side, so when you push the door open, the chain just falls off. She didn't know I did that. That shit was like that for like at least a year. But she never really tried to put the chain on the door after that. And up until this point, she's started coming around slowly. One time, I think the turning point was when my family did a family reunion. Because the first thing she said to me when I came out to her was that nobody in her family was gonna accept me. That nobody in my family was gonna accept me. That's not like that's not from God, you know. That's not it wasn't me, that's not you, that's not your happiness, yada yada. But my aunt decided to host a family reunion because at the time there was a lot of things going on in the family. There was a lot of family members that didn't talk to each other, aunts and uncles that didn't speak to each other, and you know, just issues and fights going on. So my aunt decided to like, you know what? Let's have a family reunion. Let's have a meeting where we all just hash everything out. We, you know, say what we feel and we try to understand what's going on. So I go to the meeting. My grandmother, my aunt, some of my uncles are there. My mom is there. Everybody says their piece and their issues and like what's going on. And then coming around the table, it gets to me. Now, I don't have an issue with nobody. With my family members, like you, I get along with everybody. I respected my elders. I've always, you know, with my cousins, I've never like disrespected anybody or done anything to like upset anyone. So I was like, you know, I don't really have an issue with nobody in here. Like, you know, I get along with everybody. Everybody knows me, how I am. Like, you know. So I'm thinking I'm done. And she's my aunt is like, but is there anything else? Because she, my aunt knew already. My mom had already told her. So my aunt is like, well, is there anything else you need to say? And I'm like, not really. And she's like, are you sure? Like, you know, I want you to tell everybody what I know. And she kind of put me on the spot, but I was like, you know what? What better time than any? So I came out and said it, you know. I am a gay man. I am a homosexual. And you know, I was like, you know, I feel like some of the family members already know or have heard it through rumors, but you know, I'm just solidifying it now. And the one person that I did not think that was gonna, I thought that I was gonna get the most pushback from, or that was gonna be angry, or you know, not wanting to talk to me or anything, was my grandmother. But she was the first person to get up, give me a hug, and congratulate me, which was like a huge surprise to me. And that thing, and then, you know, my aunt and my uncles, they all said, you know, we love you. You've, you know, respectful young man. You don't like, you know, you've never disrespected anybody. You always, you know, working hard and everything, and you are who you are, and that doesn't change who, you know, who you're meant to be. And we all love you. We all accept you for that. Like, that doesn't, like, your sexuality doesn't change what we think of you. And I think my mom seeing that, it changed her mind. I mean, she still gave a little pushback and said, you know, like, she still had hope that one day God is going to touch me and, you know, I'll come out of it or whatever. But that day is never going to come. We don't know that. And God made me the way I am, and He's not going to change it. So I think after seeing all the acceptance from all my family members, my mom then just started coming around, and like, you know, it didn't change my personality. It didn't change who I was coming out. So I think she expected like all these stereotypes to happen, and I feel like that's what scared her the most, and maybe what made her not so receptive to it at first. But yeah, but once you realize it really just comes down to the sexuality aspect of it, as far as like who I share a bed with. But it, go ahead.
Okay. So, anyway, we're gonna take a quick intermission really fast, and we'll be back. Everybody, this is the second part of the intermission. Yeah, people, it was one of those. It was one of those. You know, we got hot and a little heavy, and we had to stop a little bit and bit. I had to pee. He had to pee, and then my alcohol is slowly kicking in, and I'm trying to stay strong as I possibly can. Mind you, people, I have to go to work in the morning at probably like around 5:36. So I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm gonna do it. I don't turn. I do all this non-sleeping for you guys so you can be entertained. Now, let's get back to you. So you then came out to the family, and now you're at this point where grandma's like, baby, well, it is what it is. And you're in shock. We got that. So now at this point, we're living our best life right now. And then we get a man, or where do we go from there?
So the reason why I came out was because I started dating my first boyfriend. Me and him was in a relationship for 2 years. That last year was a bit on and off. Now, I don't know if any of you listeners have ever worked or have heard stories about the Top Shop Top Man. I don't know if you know that store.
No. We'll pretend like they don't know. So give us a ex explanation
So
of.
yeah, I was working at this retail store on Fifth Avenue. We both had gotten a job there, and this is where like the shit started to get rocky. Me and him, we both applied. We both got a job there. He was working for like a he was working for the custom jewelry stands. He was like in charge of making sure everything was stocked on that end. I was working for loss prevention in the store, right? We both had a conversation going into it, like, since we're meeting like a lot of new people in there and everything, and it's a new job. Let's keep our stuff under wraps. Let's not tell anybody. Just because with the whole policy with fraternization at work and nothing and all that. So we decided not to tell anybody. He worked there for like 4 months and then he left. I stayed there for like almost a year. Come to find out, since we didn't tell anybody, he ended up trying to talk to some kid, right, that worked there. Now, he was telling me the whole time that the kid wanted him and kept hitting on him and stuff like that, but he wanted nothing to do with the kid. So to make this a long story short, he leaves, right? And then one day I'm just in the lunchroom. He's no longer working there. I'm in the lunchroom eating my lunch. And the kid comes up to me because once he left, we kind of made it known that me and him were dating. So once he left, the kid comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, so like, were you guys on and off or like, were y'all consistent?" At this point, we had been together for about a year. I was like, "No, we've been together for a whole year, like no on and off or nothing like that." He's like, "Okay, well that's funny because he was always trying to get with me." Now, I'm going off, like I fully trusted him, so I'm going off from what he was telling me that it was the kid trying to get with my boyfriend. So I was like, "Well, I think you have it all wrong because it was you who was trying to get with him, as far as what he told me." And he's like, "You see, this is why you gotta save receipts." So he pulled out the whole texting that they had going on, and like it really opened my eyes because I'm reading text messages. I'm reading him telling this kid, my boyfriend telling this kid, "Oh, I want you," like he was about to get in the shower. I wanted him to be in the bathtub with you. Like, I want to lick you all up and down and all this and that. And I'm like, wow. That day, I confronted him about it. I had taken screenshots of it all and everything. And, he couldn't say anything. Or like he couldn't explain himself, so we broke up. But I was naive. I was young. I mean, I was in love with him. So like we got back together like a week later. Ended up breaking up again because we had like an argument, and then got back together again. But when we got back together this time, it was kind of intense, and we ended up getting engaged to get married. That engagement only lasted like about a month because we had gone to Atlantic City, and we had gone with some friends, and they were playing this game. I don't know, talking about these apps called His and Hers or Hers app. So I go grab his phone, and I was looking through it. And when I opened WhatsApp, it was like faster than flash. He done snatched the phone out of my hand so quick. I was like, wait, like where did the phone go? It was like this red flag that somebody was just waving up in the air, like this 20-foot tall flag. So when we get back to our room, he's in the bathroom with, because then the friends came back to our room. So he's in the bathroom with his friends. He left his phone out. So it was like, this is my perfect opportunity to go through his phone. I went through his phone, read a whole lot of shit. He was talking to this guy, pictures back and forth and everything. One of the comments was like, oh, I want you all up in my mouth. I was like, wow. And we were engaged. So this, and from the messages, the dates on the messages was literally 2 weeks after we got engaged. So at that point, I lost all complete trust. My eyes had been opened up, and it wasn't gonna work from there. So we broke up. He wanted to work it out. I tried, but it just didn't happen. And then that came up to 2 years, and then it was over. That was my first relationship. My second relationship was, it was quick, only lasted about a year. Yeah, he was a photographer. We met on the apps, but he turned out to be like a pathological liar. He would just lie about any little thing. I broke up with him because I was going back to school, and I just didn't want to have to deal with the anxiety of, like, wondering what you're doing and, are you being faithful and everything. I wasn't gonna deal with it going to school. It's like I did not want to fail my grades. I wanted to focus on that, and so I broke up with him. A week later, calls me to ask me if I wanted him to move on. And I sat and thought about it, and I was like, you know what, maybe we can work it out and, see what happens. He was like, okay, well, now I have to think about it because I don't want you to wake up one morning and decide that you don't want to be with me no more. I was like, okay, perfectly understandable. Like, I did break up with you. Like, I get it. I obviously have to, like, maybe work on a few things and for you to take me back. Come to find out, he had already started dating somebody prior to me breaking up with him. So he was already cheating on me, and I felt it, and I broke up with him. Then he wanted me to basically give him the go-ahead to move on for him to be with this person. And then when I said no, it kind of fucked up this whole plan. So one day, it was his birthday. I was calling him to meet up. Didn't happen. So I was like, okay, kept hitting him up, kept hitting him up. No answer. So I was like, all right. At this point, it really brought a side of me that I did not think was going to come out. But I ended up parking my car outside his house for like 20 minutes to see if he came out. But then Seven told me, you know what, I don't think he's gonna be, this was in the Bronx. Like, I don't think he's gonna be here. More than likely, he's gonna be in Brooklyn. So I went to at his friend's house. So I drove over to Brooklyn, parked my car outside his friend's house, and like just waited a minute to see what, like, if he came out, if I saw anything through the windows or whatnot. I see him coming down the stairs, and this guy comes out first, then he comes out behind, and the guy turns around, plants a big old kiss, and then leaves. I got out my car, walked across the street, didn't even see if there was any cars coming. And I was like, "Are you fucking serious?" Like, he was so surprised to see me. He did not know I was gonna show up. I was like, "Are you fucking serious?" I was like, "You know what? Just you could have just let me know you had moved on anyways, rather than have me put in all this effort in vain." It just didn't make any sense. So I was trying to. He was not trying to let me go either, though. So I was like, "I just want to just let me go. I just want to go. Like, I'm done with this. Then just let me go." I ran across the street trying to get my car. He ran behind me and sat in the passenger seat and then just wanted to talk to me. I was like, "Look, I get it. I broke up with you. You moved on. I try to get you back. Now, if you want to move on, then let me know. I don't want to keep trying to get you back when at the end of the day, you're just gonna go be with someone else." That was not what I was trying to get. Like, I was not trying to be played. I was not trying to be made a fool of while I'm trying to like put in all this work, and you're still gonna end up picking somebody else at the end of the day, which he ended up doing that anyways. But I digress. I moved on from that, and then from then, that was my last relationship. I've been single up until now. That was at the end of 2017. From that point, I was just starting to buy. What I was just doing was what I call serial dating. I was just dating guys. I was dating maybe three or four guys at the time. And then, once I got intimate with one person, I stuck with that. And then when that didn't work out, went back to dating three or four guys and moving on. But up until now, that's kind of like what I've been doing. But for the last 2 years, I've only been dating one person at a time, and they don't last no more than 3 months because at the 3 months they kind of really show me who they are. Hello?
You said girls are powerful, except for
That's not what I said.
go back. I missed that.
It's like towards the for the last 2 years, I've just been dating, one guy at a time, but they past 3 months
Okay.
because they show me who they really are at that point.
Okay. So now you're rediscovering yourself all over again. And does that consider knowing that, look, I have to make sure that I'm present first, that I'm good within myself before I sit down there and start dating?
Yeah, so where I'm at now is like I am working on myself. I am trying to get my career started in real estate. I'm just focused on what I'm doing down here. Like, I'm leaving New York, which is something I never thought I would do. So I'm just like focused on myself. I still date guys here and there. Like, I talk to guys, but it's at a very, it's like with social distancing, it's like at 6 feet away. It's more so, we can have fun, whatever, but don't try. Like, I'm not expecting this to get serious, and I don't want you to expect that for it to get serious either. I'm just having fun, but I'm more focused on this. I'm more focused on myself and what I'm working on. Not to sound like a douche, but you're just, someone I'm going to have fun with every now and then type of situation.
I think this is something that's good for people out there who are just coming out and don't know the direction of where to go, and learning how to pick the people that they're dating and see what's gonna officially be theirs, you know? Well, not theirs, but what they're officially gonna get into, you know what I mean? And as far as was your mother, obviously she was into the church, but like, was she like a, I don't know, she
When
like,
I came out, she was super religious.
okay.
She was, church every Sunday, even sometimes during the week after work. She would pray at home every day. It was always through the rosary. She when I came out, she was like religious, religious. She's changed her way since then. She doesn't go to church as much. Because she realized the more she went to church, the more miserable she felt, the less happy she was. But once she stopped all that, she realized, it's not always all about going to church. Like, you're not gonna find happiness in church at all. So, yeah. That's right now she prays and stuff like that, but she doesn't go to church like she did.
Well, I think that that is something because I've been listening to people's stories, and a lot of them have to deal with like religion, like driving them freaking insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's
Yeah,
awesome.
don't get me into religion.
It's awesome that you could turn around and have that conversation because I know people who are dealing with depression, anxiety because of that, on top of dealing with corona. And, you know, I think your story is something that's really important to tell, and I definitely have to have you back again. Because,
Yeah.
guys, I don't know if you see me, but my energy is low because this alcohol is low, and I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, seriously.
And you have to be up in a few too.
And two, three, four, five. Now you know it's bad when you start counting your hours. Yeah, like 4 or 5 hours.
One of the things I miss about Android phones, I have iPhone, is that when you set your alarm, Androids will tell you, okay, well, you're gonna sleep for this amount of hours and minutes.
What you call it, don't tell you that?
iPhone doesn't tell you that. When you set your alarm, iPhone does not tell you, it's gonna be 3 hours and 59 minutes from now. Yeah.
And this is why, for all you people out there who have argued with me, this is why I stay with Android. Because, huh, whatever.
Most stubborn individuals are those Android users who won't switch to iPhone.
Yup, and I'm one. And then the and then and then and then the most the people who got the Apple said, "Damn, I can't do this. Damn, I can't do that. Damn, I can't do this. Damn, I can't do that." Stop damning. Just shut the fuck up and enjoy your Apple. Take a bite of your Apple, enjoy, and go about your business. Period. But guys, this was a good interview, even though I am like detoxing off of the alcohol. So we're definitely gonna have Anthony back to talk about
Yes.
some other like experiences that I think that it can help a lot of people.
Great. I'm definitely looking forward to coming back.
Good, good. Everybody, this is Mr. Big Mouth, aka Dante, and I'll see you on a next episode. Hopefully, I will not be fully intoxicated where I feel like I'm gonna pass out. Good night.